Morning, Numbers 11, and as you're turning there, let me remind you to continue to pray for the Beacon of Truth ministries, and got some opportunities for a number of Bibles, and we're thankful for the opportunity to assemble the scriptures here, but very exciting about what's going on. They have a deadline of getting those Samoan Bibles done and ready for shipment by October, and so if you'd pray with them about that, I know they'd greatly appreciate that. Numbers chapter number 11, and that this portion of scripture, just looking at a few verses this morning from Numbers 11, but let me remind you that one of the characteristics that God gives us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 of the last days is that people will be unthankful. And it's very interesting as you think about the lack of gratitude that is prevalent in our society today. I believe that really it doesn't take us long to just look around and listen to some things, interact with some people, and we find in our society that there is a prevalent spirit of lacking thankfulness, of discontent. And we see it in all sorts of spheres of our society today. And the reality is that oftentimes, as we look at all that's taking place, I believe that as the people of God, the attitude of discontent, the lack of thanksgiving, really should alarm us. It should cause us to be greatly concerned, and we should really put up guards that we are not influenced by it. We'll get into the message this morning, and I'll make a statement that I'll make now as well, that to complain is contagious. And really, there's a spirit of complaining that as you live in our society and you see these things that are happening, that it's very easy to join in and to begin to participate in that same level of behavior. It is often said, and you would think of the truth of the nation of Israel. We'll look at this passage of Scripture this morning and a number of others here in the Old Testament. When you think about the children of Israel, often we are quick to criticize them for their complaining. We read of their murmuring and their complaining all throughout the Old Testament. It's very easy for us to quickly criticize them for it, but it's been often observed that if we're not careful, we too will imitate that behavior that we criticize. And how careful we must be. I think of this when I think about this spirit of discontent, this lack of thankfulness in our society today, then oftentimes it is manifested through a complaining spirit. You interact with people just as I do, and you know that it's very easy to be able to begin a conversation with someone and to immediately begin to hear of complaints. And that's amazing as to what we as human beings are able to complain about. In fact, I've often thought if we'd put as much effort into finding things to rejoice in, it'd certainly be a blessing, because it seems as if sometimes it's very much effort that is put into the idea of complaining and looking for things to complain about. Notice in Numbers chapter 11, the Bible says this, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Verse 2, "The people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." I'm thankful that as Moses prayed that the fire was quenched, our God is gracious, He's merciful, He's full of compassion, and for that we ought to rejoice. But you look at the first verse of Numbers 11, and we'll use it as our title this morning, "When the people complained." The word complain means to utter expressions of censure or resentment, to murmur, to find fault. Someone said this, and I think it's a wise observation, that fault is the easiest thing in the world to find. And think about that. And so often it's easy for us to find fault with the society in which we live and all sorts of things that we encounter. And we find here as we look at this passage of Scripture that there's rich truth for us to glean from that I believe God will help us. If you're taking notes this morning, notice number one, the tendency to complain. the tendency to complain. As you trace the steps of the children of Israel, you will find over and over the murmuring and the complaining that is so prevalent amongst the children of Israel, the people of God. There is a tendency on their part to complain. I believe that it's a human tendency for us to complain, and we find that it's easy to complain about things, and it's easy to get into the spirit of complaint, and we find that their tendency, the tendency of the children of Israel, is well documented in the Old Testament. Notice, if you will, go back to the book of Exodus in chapter number 14, and we read in Exodus chapter number 14 of just great might and great power and how God demonstrated His power in drying up the Red Sea. And you think about the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea, and you think about what the people, as they feared, and it tells us in verse number 10 that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they were fearful for their very existence. And Moses speaks to them, and the Lord speaks, and Moses says, "The Lord shall fight for you," in verse number 14, "and ye shall hold your peace." And God says in verse number 15 that Moses is to speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, that they will see the salvation of the Lord. And you know the account and what a record it is in Exodus 14 to see how the Lord allowed for the children of Israel to cross over on dry ground, and God destroyed the Egyptians who essayed to go in after them, and God worked miraculously. And after they had crossed, and after God had allowed the Egyptians to drive heavily their wagons there, their chariots, we find that God closed up the Red Sea and He destroyed the children of Israel. And it was reason to rejoice. And in Exodus chapter number 15, you see the song of deliverance. You see the rejoicing. They say this in verse number 1 of Exodus 15, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord." Why? "For He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Notice in verse 13, "Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation." Verse 18, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." I mean, they're rejoicing, and rightly so. God had worked miraculously. It's amazing, on the heels of seeing such miraculous deliverance, on the very heels of singing such a wonderful song of deliverance, the Bible tells us in verse number 22, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they were 3 days, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." So just a few days after seeing the miraculous, powerful hand of God Almighty, after singing His triumphs and singing His praises and singing how the Lord shall reign forever and ever, and God led them, we understand, by the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and they come to a place, and the Bible tells us that they find no water, and they came to Marah in verse 23, and they could not drink of the waters. Why? "For they were bitter." And notice it says in verse 24, "And the people murmured against Moses." It didn't take long for these nation of Israel, these people of God, to begin to murmur and complain about what? About their circumstances, about their situations, about the things that they were facing. The reality is that God knows that they needed water. Amen. God knows what our needs are. He knows where we need to be. And God, He doeth all things well. He led them exactly to where they were supposed to be. We find that they find themselves here in this portion of Scripture where they're murmuring against Moses, and they say, "What shall we drink?" Notice in verse 25 that he cried unto the Lord, Moses, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet, and he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. And what a great truth of seeing the power of God. And I want you to think about the experience of the children of Israel, their tendency to complain. They would see God work miraculously. They would see God provide for them. They would see God prove them, and He would prove Himself and His power. And yet they would face another obstacle. They would face a circumstance, a situation that perhaps we would describe as being less than desirable. And immediately, what would their default setting be? It would be this tendency to complain. It was like a default setting. In chapter number 16, you find that the Bible tells us that they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, and it says, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So I want you to consider with me that it's only the 2.5 months after they'd seen God work miraculously and deliver them, and think about all of the wonders that they saw in the plagues in Egypt, and then delivering in the crossing of the Red Sea, and then the waters healed at Marah. And the Bible tells us here in Exodus chapter number 16 that they go through and they are complaining again. In verse number 3, it says, the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. Notice what they said, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Notice what the Lord said unto Moses in verse number 4. He said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. I want you to think about the next 40 years, how the children of Israel would receive this bread daily. And God miraculously provided day by day. Of course, we understand that on the Sabbath, He would not send the manna, for on the sixth day they were to gather twice as much. And He here in Exodus chapter number 16 provides all of the details and how He was going to prove these His people, and He was going to prove His power. And we find that the children of Israel, however, they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, according to verse number 2. And they say, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. Certainly for a people that had experienced what they had experienced up to this point in their lives, the default setting should no longer be complaining. Amen? The default setting could be a wonder how God is going to work. What is God going to do in this situation? Let us seek the face of God. Let us praise God for the place in which He's brought us, and let us look to Him for how He will provide for us. But no, the people murmur. They murmur against Moses and against Aaron. God proves them in chapter 16. We read about the manna. It tells us in verse number 35 of Exodus 16 that the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And then we enter into the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're speaking this morning of the tendency to complain, and how that the tendency of the children of Israel is well documented. In chapter 17 of verse number 1, it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So the Bible tells us that they were in that place according to the commandment of the Lord in verse number 1. The Bible tells us of their circumstances that there's no water to drink, and it tells us in verse number 2 that the people did chide with Moses. If you look at verse number 3, it's the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. We read of this tendency of the children of Israel, and we read how that as they had barely finished seeing God provide miraculously, they would complain about their situation, and then God would graciously provide for them, and He would prove His power, and yet they would face another difficulty, and they would complain. The tendency of complaining. Turn over to the book of Numbers, where we are here this morning in chapter number 11, and really much of the remainder of the book of Exodus would communicate for us the Ten Commandments, the requirements, and the instructions with regard to the tabernacle and all of those things. And of course, the book of Leviticus providing for us much detail with regard to the law. And we come here and really kind of pick up the journey of the children of Israel in Numbers 11. You find that the Bible says, and when the people complained, it was a default setting. It was a tendency for the children of Israel. And it's a tendency in our human nature, and we must be careful. We must guard against this tendency of complaining. I would say that, as I mentioned by way of introduction, that complaining is contagious. You get around at the workplace and you begin to complain about the job. You begin to complain about the supervisor. You begin to complain about the requirements and the responsibility and the lack of pay, and there's no this and there's no that. And guess what? Before long, you got a whole crowd that wants to chime in and wants to join in and sing the complaints about the circumstances, right? We see it in the job place. I worked in the corporate world for years. I know how it works. Complain about gas prices. You hear that complaint recently? Right? It's all over the place, right? Complaining about gas prices. Right? Complaining about, I had to dip into my savings. I had to take out whatever. I was talking to the kids, and I said, one of the things that's interesting is if we change our perspective, maybe instead of complaining about the gas prices, we can rejoice that God provided for us in advance so that we could pay for the gas. It's just a change of perspective, right? What we sang this morning, God is so good. Is He good even if the gas prices go through the roof? Sure He is. Is He good if the boss requires you to do more than you think that? Yes, He is. Is He good? He's good. He's good. And so often we find in our society that there's this tendency to complain, and it's contagious. It's something that impacts us. We see people complaining in their homes. We see people complaining about their spouses. We see people complaining about their children. We see children complaining about their parents. And I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And lest we fool ourselves this morning, we must acknowledge this morning that there's a tendency to complain still today, even amongst the people of God. In the house of God. Amen? It happens. There's a tendency to complain. I remember when we lived out in Nevada, hearing a story of a situation with a preacher that was out in that area. And if you've been out to the northwest part of the United States, you'll find that in a number of those states in Nevada and up into Idaho and some of the other parts of that area of the country, you'll find that there are few and far of churches, Bible-believing churches. The town that we lived in Nevada, if we wanted to go to a church like our church today, we would have had to have driven about 120 miles one way. It's crazy. And I heard a man make the statement about a man that was complaining about his church. And he said, you ought to be thankful you have a church. Because I live in a place, and he noted where he lived, and he said, I can't hear preaching that's solid to the Word of God. I can't be in a place where we can fellowship with believers because there's just no church. I have to listen to, back then when I heard this, they listened to the church on the radio. He said, if I want to hear good preaching, I have to listen to the radio. He said, so before you complain again about your church, I want you to consider some things. Man, that was impactful to me as a young person. And thinking about the tendency. Listen, it's easy to complain. I mentioned by way of introduction that somebody made the observation that finding fault is one of the easiest things to find in the world. Isn't it true? Man, we can have a wonderful meal, and there could be 95% of the things could be just perfect. I mean, spot on. But we find fault in that one little thing, right? It's a tendency of human nature. We see the tendency, it's well documented for the children of Israel. It's amazing as you look through and you begin to see all that happens in the testimony of the children of Israel and their complaining spirit and their this tendency of theirs. And again, how we criticize them, but if we're not careful, how we also will come to the place where we imitate them. We'll get there in just a few minutes, but it's interesting how that in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, in fact, why don't you turn over there now? I want you to look in Numbers chapter 21, and I want you to see just the extent of this tendency. It tells us in verse number 4 of Numbers 21, it says, now, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. It says this, that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people, they spake against God and they spake against Moses. Here's what they said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Notice what they say, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, in their complaint, they were discouraged about the way. In their complaint, they said two things. Number one, there's no bread, and number two, there's no water. And then their third complaint is that our soul hates, loatheth this light bread. Now, they just got done saying there was no bread, right? And now they're saying, our soul loatheth, hateth this light bread. What are they referring to? Manna. The manna that God graciously and miraculously provided for them. The manna that rained from heaven that we looked at in Exodus 16 when God said, I'm going to prove them and I'm going to rain bread from heaven. And the people of God are complaining about the provision of God. And we can criticize them. And by the way, it's okay to criticize them because God wasn't pleased with them. And it's not appropriate behavior, but in the very midst of their complaint, it shows their inconsistency. It shows that their perspective is wrong. Notice with me not only the tendency of complaining, but notice the tragedy of complaining. Go back to Numbers 11, if you will. I want you to look at the tragedy of complaining. And honestly, this morning, it is a tragedy when people complain. It really is. In Numbers 11, the Bible says this in verse number 1, and when the people complain, notice this, it displeased the Lord. What is it? Well, it's their complaining. It is their complaining that was the reason for God being displeased with them. It's interesting, as Paul would deal with this truth for the children of, or for the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and you don't need to turn there, but I'll reference two verses of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5. God says this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. In verse number 10, the final example that he uses of the behavior that did not please the Lord, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The tragedy of complaining, number one, it displeased the Lord. I don't want to do anything in my life that would displease the Lord. I didn't say that I never displeased the Lord. I said I don't want to do anything that displeases the Lord. And we need to come to that place in our life where we say, I don't want to displease God. I don't want to displease my Father. Because truly God is good and I don't want to displease Him. And when He tells us of things in His Word specifically that would displease Him, then I want to stay far away from that. I want to avoid it. Notice, you continue reading in Numbers 11 and verse number 1. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. But notice this, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. You know, God hears everything. God hears everything. It's kind of interesting because in the New Testament, when it talks about complaining and murmuring, it kind of has the idea of having something that's just not well known and well documented, something that's done in secret. But God knows. God hears. And the Bible tells us that it displeased the Lord, but it says the Lord heard it. Isn't it so much better for the Lord to hear the praise of His people? Seriously. That He would hear the praise of His people, not the complaints of His people. It's not for us to complain, and we must recognize the tendency, but it's important that we understand the tragedy of complaining, that it displeases the Lord, that He hears it. And then notice as we continue in verse number 11, it says, and His anger was kindled. Oftentimes we see that the complaining of the people of God resulted in severe judgment. Here in Numbers chapter number 11, the Bible tells us that the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The Lord heard their complaining. The Lord was displeased with their complaining. And the Lord brought judgment because of their complaining. Now again, I want to steer clear of the judgment of God. Amen? I want to steer clear of the judgment of God. And we find that there are many examples in which God has given us, especially as we look in the Old Testament here, with regard to the complaining spirit of the children of Israel and their tendency to complain and the tragedy and the results of the severe judgment here in Numbers 11, again in Numbers chapter 16, you see that there's a plague. as a result. We see the fire at the beginning of the chapter. You see the plague near the end of the chapter. And in chapter 16, you see the plague. In Numbers chapter 12, guess what? Miriam and Aaron, they're complaining. They're speaking against Moses. And Miriam is stricken with leprosy. We find that the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 16 that those that were complaining, that the earth opened up and swallowed them. Wow. Amazing. The severe judgment of God. In Numbers 21 that we looked at just a moment ago, where they were complaining and saying that our soul loatheth this light bread. They had complained about the way. They were discouraged because of the way in which they had been led by God Almighty. They were discouraged and they were complaining. And the Bible tells us in verse number 6 of Numbers 21 that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. We read about the brazen serpent and how that Moses obeyed the instruction of the Lord, and he gave the instruction of the people that if they were to look, they would live, and certainly that was accomplished. And you see that at the end of the chapter, or at the end of the passage in verse number 9, that truth of looking and living. And we sing the song, Look and Live, and it's certainly derived from this portion of Scripture. But I want you to think about the complaint of the people and the judgment, the severe judgment. They're complaining about no water and no bread, and they were discouraged about the way, and God sent fiery serpents. I bet you all of a sudden they weren't too upset about the way. They weren't too concerned about the manna, right? Because now they got fiery serpents. This morning, as we think about the tragedy of complaining, I want to draw your attention to a verse in the book of Psalms, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, I want you to think about the impact of our complaining on others. I mentioned already that complaining is easy, and the tendency of complaining, and the fact that complaining is contagious, and we've kind of given some truth with regard to various circumstances and environments in which complaining takes place. But I want you to think about the way in which our complaining impacts others. We look in Psalm 106, and the Bible tells us it's an interesting verse of Scripture in verse number 25. It's speaking of the children of Israel and going through several of their things, their history, and how they believed. It's interesting. Look in verse 12. They believed, then believed they His words. They sang His praise. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. They forgot God in verse 21, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. It's amazing how quickly things can change and how they were remembering and praising, and then they're forgetting because of some circumstances and they're complaining. It says in verse 24, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not His word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. What is representative here of this phraseology, but murmured in their tents? This would be their dwelling place. We would say this, it would be in our homes, right? And you think about the murmuring in our homes and perhaps the impact and the influence upon a future generation. We've already mentioned the fact that God hears our complaints, but we must also recognize this morning that there are other people that hear our complaints. And when they hear our complaints, we must ask ourselves, how does it impact them? How does it affect them? What image are we portraying of our God when we're complaining about our circumstances, when we're complaining about the environment in which God has placed us? How's it impacting them? We criticize the children of Israel. Why? Because they're complaining. They're not trusting God. They're not delighting in what God has provided and how God has directed. And we can look at their lives and we can criticize them, but the reality is that we must understand there's this tragic impact of complaining. And you think about how others will hear. Again, how wonderful for God to hear the praises of His people, but even for others that hear our praises as opposed to our complaints. They hear that our God is good. I mean, in the midst of a society, again, as we mentioned there in 2 Timothy 3, that one of the characteristics is that people will be unthankful. It doesn't take us long as we go through this world to see that there's this complaining spirit that is prevalent. But when they see something different about you and I, when they see that We're not complaining about all of the things that the hot topics in the news this week and what they will be next week and how we complain about all those things, but they're hearing us sing praise to our God, that He's in control, that He doeth all things well, that He has a plan, that He has a purpose, that we're not living under the circumstances, we're living trusting that God is doing all things well. We see the tragedy of complaining, not only the way in which it displeases the Lord, but the way in which it impacts others. And certainly complaining has an impact on other people. This morning we've noted from Numbers 11 the tendency of complaining, the tragedy of complaining. Number three, I want you to think of this, to triumph over complaining. If we acknowledge this morning that there's a tendency amongst the children of Israel, and if we'd be honest with ourselves and we'd be honest before the Lord, that we'd say even in our own lives, for some of us, there's a tendency to complain. There's this human response to the adversities, to the difficulties, to the things that we just flat out don't like, that we just complain. That we'd understand this morning that there's that tendency and it's a tragedy, then I must come to the place where I say, how can I triumph over this? How can I have victory over this complaining spirit that's so prevalent in our society today that impacts me? Listen, when you go to the workplace and you hear other people complaining, even when you set out that today is going to be the day, I am not going to complain today. And then all of a sudden, things happen. People talk to you. I can't believe, did you hear what? And all of a sudden, man, it just, right? That's how it works. But look at the book of Philippians, if you will. Look at the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. How to triumph over complaining. We could ask ourselves this question, is it even possible? Is it possible as we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Is it possible as we live in the midst of a people in these last days that will be characterized as being unthankful, and we hear it and we're bombarded with it, and you can ask somebody today, hey, how are you? It's a little bit too cold. You ask them yesterday, how are you? It's a little bit too hot. You ask them yesterday, how are you? It's a little bit too windy. I mean, we just complain about everything, right? In the midst of that type of an environment, I believe that we as the people of God can triumph over complaining. Notice in Philippians 2 and verse number 14, notice what God says. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. How many things? All things. There's really, in our minds sometimes in this day in which we live, we like to separate the sacred from the secular. Compartmentalize, if you will. But the reality is that for the people of God, there's no real separation between the sacred and the secular. Amen? And sometimes we think, well, we understand the importance of the sacred over here, and this is this particular pillar in which we live in, but then the secular over here. But the reality is that when He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, we're not putting those categories, we're not separating ourselves. We're saying, I am a child of God. That's who I am. That's my identification, and I belong to Him, and I'm to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Focus on that first thing there, do all things without murmurings. And as our subject matter this morning would lead us to thinking of that truth, and He says to do all things without murmurings. Listen, there are some things that are easy to do without murmuring. Right? There are some things that are just, it's a delight for us to do them. It's a joy, it's a privilege, and it's something that we enjoy doing. And so therefore, to do that thing, whatever that thing is, and it's different for each and every one of us, it's easy for us to do it without complaining, without murmuring. But in like fashion, for every single one of us, there are some things that are a little bit more difficult to do without murmuring. Right? We know. You know yourself. I know myself. And there are tasks, there are things that sometimes it's some task that we have before us that it's hard for us to do without murmuring. It's going to be a challenge. And we come to the place where we say, well, God said, do all things. Not do the things I like without murmuring. Not do the things that are easy without murmuring. Not do the things that bring me joy or bring me satisfaction without murmuring. But he said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And so I think about these murmurings and these do all things without murmurings, and we say, can we triumph over complaining? Is it possible? And I would say, yes, absolutely, with the help of the Lord. Let me say this. There is no command that God has given us that He will not enable us to keep. Amen? I believe that. That God has, if He's told us to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that with the help of God and by the grace of God, by His enablement, we are able to do all things without murmuring. Even that thing that is the least on our list. Right? We can do it without murmuring, without complaining, only with the help of God. Notice, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe that this goes hand in hand, and we're familiar with the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 5 and how many just simple verses of Scripture and just commands and instructions that are given in these closing verses of Scripture. In verse number 18, a familiar verse, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why would I use this verse of Scripture in connection with this spirit of complaining and this tendency to complain, the tragedy that is associated with complaining, and how we would have victory over complaining? It's that we change our perspective. It's that we come to the place where in everything we give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I have the privilege of fill in the blank. I remember hearing years ago, it was an account that was given while I was still in Bible college, and I think it was kind of given to us as a primer to help us have the right response if we were to encounter this situation. But it was a situation in which a young man was interviewing for a ministry position. And this particular pastor that would interview for this position, every time in the midst of the interview, he would have a secretary call in and tell him that there was an overflowing toilet in the men's bathroom and they needed immediate assistance, just to see how the one being interviewed would respond. Would they go and help? Would they not? And it's kind of interesting how we say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that we can rejoice that God's given us the opportunity. As I mentioned, we complain about the gas prices, but God's provided for us. Thank you, Lord. Well, I got to dip into my savings. I heard somebody say that when I was in Tennessee. It was no one of you. Nobody that I even knew. Oh, I got to dip into my savings. Hey, what about being thankful you have a savings? That God provided for you in abundance at some time previous so that you could have a savings. Right? It's a change of perspective is really what it is. You think about Joseph in Egypt. There were 7 years of plenty. If God had not graciously given that dream to Pharaoh, and God had not enabled Joseph to interpret that dream, what do you think the Egyptians would have done for those 7 years of plenty? They would have feasted. And then what would have happened in the 7 years of famine? They would have died. It wouldn't have lasted 7 years, right? Because they wouldn't have had enough. And so God provides graciously. And as He provides, we see that His provision sometimes is immediate. Sometimes His provision was years ago on allowing us to be in the position where we can handle what God has allowed to happen. I understand there's all reasons. Listen, everybody wants to point fingers about gas prices today. Everybody. Point fingers. It's this person's fault. It's this thing. Right? And oh, it's easy for us to get caught into the trap. Right? I use that because it's just so prevalent right now. They got little stickers on gas pumps all over the place that you go to pump gas. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap. And so how do we triumph over complaining? It's possible because God said, let all things be done. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So if he's given me a command, he also will enable me to meet that, to keep that command. And it's that change of perspective that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We find ourselves in this situation as we sing about the goodness of God, and it was really sweet this morning in Sunday school singing that song, God is so good. And I could just hear the voice of the people. I believe we believe it. God is good. God was good to the children of Israel, was he not? It didn't stop them from complaining, though. They complained about the very provision of God Almighty. They complained about the very direction of God Almighty. They complained about what God had provided for them and how God had directed them. Instead of rejoicing, instead of expecting that God would work great, there's a pastor friend that I know. When you chat with him, as soon as you know, some people have these interesting responses when you say, hey, how are you? You see somebody, you talk to them on the phone, you see them in person, you shake their hand and ask how they're doing. For Mr. Don, it's absolutely wonderful. Most of us have gotten to the point where we've understood that and we've heard that. We have some people, thankfully none that are part of our congregation, at least not that I've heard, that I've experienced in the past, that say, well, under the circumstances, you know, it's kind of that Eeyore personality of, oh, bother, right? Things are just kind of, And, you know, you see these different people. Some people say this, how are you? Hey, I'm better than I deserve. You ever heard somebody say that? I've heard people say, I like that response, I'm better than I deserve. This pastor friend of mine, as you chat with him, he'll say this. When you ask him how he's doing, he'll say, if I complained, I'd be lying. That's what he says. It's kind of catchy. It's kind of like thought-provoking. I've never heard anyone say that before when I've greeted them. But when I greet him, he'll say, well, brother man, if I'd complain, I'd be lying. That's what he says. You know what he means by that? God is good. And so if I complain, I'm lying. Because I'm saying that God isn't good. Because whatever I'm complaining about, ultimately, my charge is against God. How many times did the children of Israel complain toward Moses and toward Aaron? But who really was their complaint directed at? It's directed at God. I mean, think about Moses just for a moment. And I'm going to close with this. Jim, I'm going to mess you up because I'm going to come down here. And he's got to move the camera all around. But I want you to think about Moses. The people come to Moses and say, you led us here. Moses is like, you don't see the pillar? What do you mean I led you here? Do you not see the pillar? We were following the pillar. Right? But who are the people complaining against? Well, they want to complain about Moses. Why? Because they don't really want to complain. Now, sometimes they did complain directly about God. But typically, we want to complain about someone human, not about God. But the reality is that if God had provided the human leader, Moses, and had provided the direction, then as they complained about Moses, really their complaint was about God. Do we believe that God is sovereign? He is. We believe He's in control. He's sitting on His throne. He knows exactly what's going on in the world today. He's not surprised by anything that's going on in the world today. We believe all that, right? So when we begin to complain about what's taking place, who ultimately are we complaining about? God. When we complain, oh, I almost hit that cello. That would have been a big mistake. Is that yours? That would have been a really big mistake. Steve, I'd just say sorry. I got to live with Brianna. Amen. That just messed me all up. But the reality is that when we complain, we're complaining about God. We come to the place where I say, you know what? I want to have victory in this area of my life. I know there's a tendency on the part of us as human beings to complain. If we're not careful and if we don't guard against it, every single one of us can fall prey to complaining. We really can. We can just come to the place where we just get into that rut. complain about this and complain about that. We see it in our society, but it ought not be amongst the people of God. Amen? It ought not be amongst the people of God. Why? Because our God is good. All of the time. Before I almost ran into the cello, I was going to go to the book of Daniel. I won't take time to do it at this point. But you think about the truth that God gives in the book of Daniel with regard to God being in control of the affairs of mankind. We complain about our government leadership. Listen, those people are only in place because God's allowed them to be in place. I've said this before. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I said it as we preached on the subject of prayer. What place does prayer have in our lives? God said that we're to pray for those in leadership. We're to pray for those that are in authority. It's easier to complain about them, right? You got a bad boss, it's easy to complain about them than to pray for them. And this morning, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. He heard them, and His anger was kindled against them. It's tragic. But I'm thankful this morning that we can triumph. We can be victorious over this matter of complaining. And oh, that God would help us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the truth, and we thank You for how You've provided these Old Testament records as our and samples. As Paul said to the believers in Corinth, for our admonition, for our instruction, that we would learn, even from this particular message this morning, that which would displease You. And Lord, I pray that as we would take a few moments this morning to honestly evaluate our lives, that as we would take the time to let a man examine himself, that it's easy for us to criticize those that complain. It's easy for us to criticize the children of Israel for their complaining. But far too often we imitate their behavior. For all that You've done for us, for how good You've been to us, how sad that we would complain. I pray that You'd help us as we evaluate our own lives personally to be honest. God, that we'd be able to identify if there's that tendency in our lives. And that we'd run to You, seeking Your help so that we might triumph over it. That we would not get caught up in these complaining sessions, these workplace, church house, wherever it might be. But God, we look to You and see how good You are and how good You've been. That we do all things without murmurings. Would You move and work as only You can? Help us, Lord, to be honest with You and to be doers of the Word. We'll thank You for it. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Kimberly's going to play quietly on the piano. As she does, the altar's open. Maybe for someone there's confession that needs to take place. There's been complaining and you want to just come get it right with God. Maybe for someone this morning there's a recognition of that tendency and you want God to help you so that you can triumph, and you maybe need to visit this altar this morning and ask God to just protect you and help you to prevent you from falling into that complaining spirit. Maybe God's spoken to your heart in some other way. Maybe you just want to come and thank Him this morning. But as Kimberly plays, the altar is open.